you know, grow up with my mom, who just always, she never spoke bad about herself or her body and stuff like that. And I think that really just instilled a sort of self-confidence in myself that, you know, continued to then, after losing my leg, just, you know, I'm still me at the end of the day.
Sure. Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I have the gorgeous Izzy here. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we met and you were pole dancing and it was so inspiring and amazing. I just love watching dancing in all forms, but pole dancing specifically. Have you always been like super connected? I'm just going to dive in. You always felt super connected to like performance and dance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have any formal training, but it's always been a self-expression of mine, I would say. And I started at 18 and was lucky to just sort of fall into, I started stripping and then I got lucky to start dancing on tour with Mickey Avalon, and that really just kind of propelled me as a performer and let me shine in the way that I didn't really knew was possible at that time.
Yeah, dancing is so, it's a way to really connect to your body. So totally. I feel like it's really awesome to just like tap into that energy. Do you feel like it's been a tool for you to really like connect to yourself?
Yeah, totally. You know, I'm an amputee. I don't know if you guys can tell from the angles we're at right now. But it was something that, you know, was a big, meant a lot to me when I had two legs. And then when I lost my leg, it was something that I wanted to continue doing. And, you know, I never let that stop me or hold me back. And I'm lucky to be able to, you know, move and do yoga and keep up with these things that keep my body in a place that I'm able to express myself like that.
Yeah. When I first saw you dancing, I didn't even notice because you were so fluid and so beautiful. And so, and then towards the end, I was like, oh my gosh, like you don't have the bottom half of your legs. It's crazy. And, yeah. I mean, it's so inspiring and beautiful to see you dance because you can't even tell. There must have been like some sort of like adjustment period though, for sure. Right.
There definitely was. I mean, my healing journey was a lot longer than I had anticipated. So that was an adjustment, and I wasn't even able to walk for a long time and had, you know, eventually had like about 35 surgeries. So can imagine I was in and out for a long time. But yeah, I just visualized and thought every day like what it was like to be in my body before, and just, you know, meditated and as corny as that sounds, just saw myself in that light. And eventually when my body caught up and everything, then I was able to keep going. I'm maybe a little bit slower of a mover than I was before, but I don't think that's a bad thing, and thankfully I can do, you know, most everything I could do before, even on the pole and stuff.
So had you been dancing previously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was probably dancing about 2 years before I lost my leg. But, you know, it was a major part of my life and something I always wanted to get back into.
Yeah. And you now started like your own nonprofit too, mm-hmm. to like help other amputees. Could you elaborate on that?
So I started Limitless Strength, spelled Limbitless. I learn something every day as an amputee that you don't know. You kind of think, oh, I just, you know, get my leg amputated and then I have one prosthetic for the rest of my life or something like that. And, you know, it's a much longer journey than that. You know, you need new prosthetics all the time, every year, often. Insurance is a big problem in that world, just getting these prescriptions and getting this approval to be able to get them in the first place. And it's often a lot of money out of pocket. You know, I needed a new foot last year. That was $1,500. Insurance doesn't cover that. Again, lasts like a year, you know, and I have an uncle who's an amputee, a lot of friends who are amputees, and they're just unable to get simple stuff like their liners, things that hold their prosthetics on. And I just wanted to start a nonprofit to help get these, you know, these necessities out to people. And also kind of, I always wanted to be the bridge, the person that inspires and is there to like help new amputees, because for me, that was a really probably the most important, you know, part of my journey. When I ended up electing to have my leg removed based off of injuries and stuff like that. But being able to talk to people, women that were, you know, younger in my age and active and fashionable and stuff like that, being able to talk to them and just learn, you know, what kind of shoes you can wear and just like all these little things that, you know, as someone who had two legs before, like was important to them. And so I want to be that for people who are, you know, finding out that they're going to get an amputation or who wake up and have an amputation and stuff like that, helping kind of just bridge that start of that journey for them.
Good for you. Yeah, that's incredible. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people already just in the time you've done it.
It's so new, you know, and it's like such a new world of something for me to navigate, but I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
As far as like dancing too, I feel like it's super, there's like a level of like sex appeal to it too, you know? And so was that difficult for you to tap back into?
I feel like I can't lie about that. I don't think that was.
Yeah. it's always there.
It's always there for me. I have a different journey with that where it didn't really affect my confidence, where, you know, that's can be super difficult for people adjusting to looking differently now. And, you know, of course people stare at me all the time, every day. I mean, it's funny when I'm out with someone and they're just like, God, like people are just staring at you. And I'm like, you know, you get used to it. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was lucky to, you know, grow up with my mom who just always, she never spoke bad about herself or her body and stuff like that. And I think that really just instilled a sort of self-confidence in myself that, you know, continued to then after losing my leg, just, you know, I'm still me at the end of the day.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice for people. I would love to hear any more advice you have for people, you know, cause it's, someone going through something similar or feeling, judged even by being stared at or something, like, how do you manage it?
How do I manage it? I mean, it's just that, like, that is just, you can't control anybody. Mm-hmm. You can only control yourself. People are going to do things, say things. I've had people say the most horrendous things to me, you know, and just how you deal with it. And I just choose to deal with it with patience. And I tried and just think like, you know, that's unfortunate for them that they're not educated or they're not, maybe that's a reflection of how they feel about themselves or.
Yeah. There's a lot of hate in the world. Even I've noticed that with like launching this podcast, there's a lot of hate and you kind of just have to like minimize it or kind of ignore it and just kind of remind yourself of like the positive things is what I always do.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, there is so much positivity and I try to focus on that, because it's so easy to focus on the negatives or the things that are upsetting or hurtful. And I try to use it to educate people when I can. When I first moved to Los Angeles, I was still dealing with a lot of surgeries and whatnot. And I was in Ralph's downtown on one of the little motor scooters because I couldn't walk at the time. I didn't even have a prosthetic. I was on crutches. And a grown man walked by me and he goes, "Bitch, you're fine. Get up." And I was like, "Oh, okay.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, wow."
And then I ended up, I checked, you know, bought my groceries and just drove out of there. And I saw him and I go, "Does it look like I'm fine? Does it look like I can just get up and walk?" And he just like burst into tears, a grown man, face tattoos, like, you know. And I go, if you take one thing from this, just think for 30 seconds before you speak, observe a situation, like, you know. And he was just crying and so apologetic. And he was with his mother, who was just like, "My son's an asshole." And
oh my God.
So it was like a whole thing. But, you know, it was important to me to try to educate him. And I hope that, you know, changed him a little bit or whatever. It certainly changed me, because it was so drastic, and just, I can't even fathom, like, even if you think something like that, why are you even speaking it? You know? But who knows? Who knows what how that affected?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, when they're being disrespectful to you, it's like they're hurting in some way.
Totally.
Or yeah, like you've mentioned before, projecting or whatever.
Totally, totally.
But that's cool that you are also, you know, I'm glad that you called him out too, you know, because then, like you said, you're educating. Just like you have your nonprofit, you're helping, you're healing, you're educating. And so I feel like that's my goal too, is to like heal people through pleasure, to, you know, allow people to welcome their erotic authenticity. So that's another reason why I wanted to have you on here, is because I feel like there's lots of, you know, synergy there. So
totally. Thank you.
Do you feel like I guess we already talked about healing, but do you feel like dance was like a really big part of your healing journey?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't imagine a world without it, to be honest with you. It's such a big part of my life. And it was so major. It's the one thing that I was like, you know, in the hospital, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to get back to.
You were always like, "I'm going to do this again."
Oh, 1,000%. Always, always, always. And I think, you know, that's also part of my nonprofit, is there's so much more alternatively than, you know, medicine and surgery and et cetera that needs to be done in order to feel good about your body and feel good in your body. And, you know, for me personally, dance, even though it can be sometimes painful or whatever, it generally is very, very good for my body. It makes my body feel very good, and just everything that comes along with it, stretching and movement and all that really, I think, just helps you heal. And that's why I started the nonprofit. I think eventually it would be so rad to have a big center doing, to have people to come to and, you know, do dance classes, do yoga classes, do different kinds of, you know, acupuncture, meditation, like all of that stuff has helped me so much in my journey of healing.
Yeah, that was actually a question I wanted to ask you too, is like, do you ever have any rituals like before you dance, which I think would be fun to know, but also, yeah, like other tools or rituals or things. I guess we already talked about meditation, acupuncture. So that would be also cool, I think, for listeners to know if they're dealing with something similar.
Yeah, ritually, I mean, I definitely try to get into my little zone before going on stage. I can't say like I do anything too specific. I try to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, stretching's good.
Try to limber up a little bit, you know. Trying to think. It's nothing like too particular. I used to be a big drinker. I don't drink anymore, really. So it used to be, you know, like my rider was a bottle of Casamigos, and now it's not that. Now I'm up there with a ginger beer. It's just important for me to kind of be in my green room and be in my space. I do my makeup, you know, right before the shows usually. Sometimes I'll listen to music that'll get me in the mood, in the zone. And then as far as maintaining that, doing yoga is very important to me. Acupuncture, I don't do much anymore, but I have throughout my journey. Meditation, guided meditations. I do hypnotherapy, which has been just incredibly helpful in so many ways.
What is that?
So hypnotherapy, I can pretty much only describe as like a guided meditation. I work with a woman in Australia, Ani. She's amazing. And she does it over Zoom. When she was here, I was doing it in person with her, but she gets you in a comfortable space and you get, you know, relaxed in a comfortable position. And then she just sort of guides you through these meditations. They're all different, but they're just kind of allowing you, from my understanding of it, it's rewriting your subconscious, which is where we're functioning about 80% of the time. And it's your subconscious is only affected pretty much through these guided meditations, through hypnotherapy or through fight or flight. So someone who has experienced a lot of trauma like me, you know, we're reacting and doing things that's subconsciously that's just built within us in a time of trauma. So she is going in and helping kind of rewrite those patterns. Talk therapy doesn't really work for me. I'm like, let me tell this random person that, you know, I don't know a bunch of horrific things and just re-traumatize myself and whatever. So it's been really helpful to have her to kind of go in and, like I said, rewrite and do that way, so that when stuff comes up in my life, I have these like new tools and ways and how to deal with things and all of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to get back into therapy. I did it years ago for pretty consecutively when I was kind of at rock bottom maybe. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I needed it. And she did a lot of like meditation throughout and art therapy too.
Awesome.
So I would like draw and like, so I feel like there's a lot of other elements that you can find with all the, I mean, there's so many different unique styles nowadays. So it's cool to learn that one, cause I've never heard of that before. Cause I feel like a lot of people, they don't want to just like talk to a therapist, but there's so many other techniques and tools that you can do. And so, that's cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. I would love to know, a little bit more of you felt so in like your sexual power too, when you were dancing. Mm-hmm. Has that always been, I mean, you said that you've always kind of felt connected to that, but if you're comfortable sharing more about how like, how confident you are in your power and how, if you explore things like that.
Let me see.
Or self-pleasure, anything. I'd love to end my episodes with asking when was that last time you had that sweet release, but I feel like we're not quite there yet.
I'm trying to think of, will you word the question again?
Yeah, of course. I was just thinking kind of like when I saw you dancing, I felt mm-hmm. like you were so powerful in your sexual power. Mm-hmm. Have you always felt super connected to that side of yourself?
Yeah, I think I have. I don't really know like where I got it from or what sparked it or anything like that. I think it goes so deep into like everything I do. Not that everything I do is sex and whatever, but that, you know, my flow and my personality and everything I think is very sensual with me. And I don't know. I've always always kind of had that. I really have no idea where it came from. I can't say. My family is maybe a little bit more conservative in ways. I grew up, I'm Native American. I grew up at Native American school and stuff like this. So I don't know, maybe just being connected to the earth and the universe has helped me just be more in tune with myself. And then I always wanted to be a dancer. Like, again, no formal training or anything like that. But the minute I, turned 18, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go check out the strip club and checked it out. And it was, maybe this is where we're going with this. That was kind of like the first time I was able to understand that power, but also like take responsibility for it and feel in control of it, where, being a woman and as all of us experience and go through, having that kind of taken away from me, whether it's being groped, gross, foul things that you don't ask for. And then being in that environment kind of gave me my power and saying like, okay, this is something I'm choosing to do. And this is something I'm choosing to share.
It's kind of taking that power away from the ickiness that can surround stripping and pole dancing. So I feel like it's putting you back in, like in the power mode.
Totally. Yeah. And like, that was the first place, like I could tell someone to fuck off. I could tell someone, mm-hmm. I could, do worse than that, pull knives on people, all kinds of crazy things I don't do anymore. But I had that where like I worked in a steakhouse as a teenager, and like, I felt like that power was taken away from me. I felt like I had men come up and touch me and say things to me, and I, for fear of losing my job and whatnot, I couldn't speak on that. And so that was really rad to get to experience that for the first time in the club, and then kind of take that sensuality and whatever and get to then, I met Mickey Avalon and start touring with him and get to show that in such a, in more of a performance type of way, which is what I always, wanted to do. I had like the control in that, and just got to kind of show myself and how I wanted to be in the light I wanted to be seen. And that felt really powerful. And I'm, so lucky that and grateful to him and Sierra for just always having my back through it. I started dancing with them when I had two legs, and then, lost, and that didn't change anything in their book. They still saw me as me, and just let me continue to do my thing. And so,
that's when you know someone is like there for you, when they see you the same way, I feel like.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. I feel like, even though you were, into like stripping back at that age, I do feel like when I saw you, you were doing like a full on performance, and it's like you took that sensuality of that connection to dance into your body. And now you put on these like really incredible performances, and it's just beautiful to see. I love it.
It means a lot.
A lot of the events that we attend, like I just did an episode at the play recently, mm-hmm. They focused on like artistry. And that's like a big component that I love, because it's just like, it's an element of sex and pleasure that we forget. And so it's cool to hear you also talk about like the sensuality, because that's the part that I'm super connected to in my pleasure sessions, is like, is kind of all the senses, like what am I seeing? What am I feeling? Like, what am I touching? And like bringing in all these different textures and elements. And I think that can really spice up the bedroom for a lot of people, or make you feel just more connected to yourself or your lover, or even like you said before, like the earth, which I feel like is so, I don't know, Mother Earth, Mother Nature. I feel like it's very, it's a divine part of us that is very linked, I think, to sexual nature. But Anyways, well, as we're kind of wrapping up, I would love to know if you're comfortable sharing that last time you had that sweet release, whether it was partnered or solo or any and all details you're willing to share.
I feel like for me, like that has just evolved so much beyond just that and or just like an orgasm in general. And for me, it's become these like experiences that I've shared with people, like even not totally sexually. So I would say like my last sweet release in this non-traditional way, I can describe it is, I had like a fucking awesome night with some close, dear loved ones. And, you know, I'm not drinking, so I'm finding other ways of having fun and enjoying myself in that aspect. And, I just had the aux cord and I was playing some great tunes and just being around people and surrounded by like love and, again, dance as a form of expression and sensuality, and music plays so heavily into that. So for me, it was getting to play music that I love that, you know, was then, you know, taken by them very well, and getting to dance and be around loved ones. And that would, I would say, would be my biggest sweet release as of recent. Yeah.
It's true. You know, I do say how important pleasure is, but sometimes if we can't have it, if we're not in the mood, sometimes like there's other ways to experience these beautiful, sweet releases of life. So yeah, thanks for reminding my listeners of that.
Of course. Sweet.
Well, if you're also comfortable sharing like where people can find you, if they're interested in, I don't know, even watching you dance or hiring you for an event or whatever, however that works, and your nonprofit too.
Yeah, no, I'd love to. I have my kind of more commercialized Instagram, Izzy Pop Official. I'm very active on it. So you can always message me there. I have my email link to that. I also have my website, izzypop.com. And then IZZIEPOP. And then Limitless Strength is LIMBITLESS strength.org is the website for that.
Love that.
Yeah. So I, like I said, I'm super active on Instagram, so that's always a good place. Otherwise, my email is izzypopofficial@gmail.com. You can reach through my website, through everything. And then I do have XO Izzy Pop, which is like a little bit more adult centered Instagram that's private. But yeah, that's where you can see more of the sensual stuff there.
Yeah. Sensual dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. Well, thanks so much for being here and sharing your story. And I'm sure you're inspiring some of my listeners. So I appreciate it.
I hope so. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And my sweets, be sweet to yourself as always, and be sweet to those people around you. And yeah, just be sweet. Even if you change a little bit, be sweet to yourself. All right. Talk soon. Bye.